This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Taken that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now. Make sure you, in fact, let people know you're senators. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
Because the question is,
will you shut up, man? Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
This is so right.
Gentlemen, I think
this is so unprecedented.
We're not going to give a list. We have ended this segment. We're going to move on to the second segment.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? Keep yapping, man.
The people understand, Joe.
They
47
do.
Years you've done nothing. They understand.
Oh. All right.
Wow. From COVID to race relations to what's happening with health care, but nothing but chaotic nonsense, really, for 90 minutes. Chris Wallace unable to do what he could do to shut down the over-talking, which for the first 10 minutes was unwatchable. This absolutely was not a debate. We'll go through what happened and talk about what we can expect, what's the encore to this, because there's supposed to be two other debates. I was all over social media just to get kind of a sense of what some people are thinking, to the left, to the right, to somewhere in between. And most were just talking about how they couldn't hear a damn thing because so much was about layering voices on top of voices. You heard Biden there tell the president to shut up, and he called him a clown, and then the president interrupted Joe several times throughout the whole 90 minutes. And this was just the first one. Remember, there are two others on the 15th of October and on the 22nd. There's supposed to be another debate. How many people will watch what is supposed to be a debate but has turned into anything but at least this first one? Would you watch the next two? I think it's certainly going to turn people off. And what does that mean? Who loses in that case? All right, some moments from the debate, and thanks for joining us to dance on this floor with me. I'm Kate Delaney. If you haven't been here before, welcome to the show. what a night for you to tune in, let's just say that. But looking at what this was like, it reminded me of watching some of the crazy things that I have watched that have kind of a fantasy medieval slant, I'll say series-wise, whether it's The Three Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. It was a night of wildness, of throw the spaghetti sort of against the wall. And as I mentioned, Chris Wallace, you had a sort of feel for him. I think he was getting attacked mostly on social media, but he could not control it. The president talked over the moderator. There was talking over each other. There was Trump accusing Biden of being dumb and accusing him of cowardice for taking precautions to avoid catching or spreading the novel coronavirus. And this was really what the hour was about, attacking, defending, blowing up debates. And, it was just pure chaos is exactly what I said. Ugly, heated exchanges and almost this sense of, I think there was almost this sense, and I said this heading into the debate, this is exactly what I honestly thought was going to happen. I said heading into this, it was going to be like sitting ringside watching a fight of who's containing themselves. I could almost see that they would want to go after each other. I mean, seriously, I think there was moments of holding back. There was moments of talking over. Just absolutely chaotic. And eventually, in the end, what do you take out of this? What do you take out of these 90 minutes of this? At one point, I mean, look, Chris, I felt sorry for Chris Wallace. I thought he would do a good job. He tried to come back. He did not succeed at this job because it was so tough. Brett Hume, his pal on Fox, said he was the best, you know, debate moderator ever. Maybe it's because he had to just keep going in there and trying to separate it, almost like a referee, again, in a ring, and was not able to do it with the words that were flying around all over the place. At one point, he said, I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask my questions. That's what he said to the president. He said, he tried appeasing the president. He said, you'll be happy, Mr. President. You're going to be very happy to try to get him to not say anything to allow him to get his question out. But it was a weary 90 minutes. And I think with these debates anyway, absolutely what I said before in looking at and watching debates throughout my entire lifetime, most of what you see and most of what happens, people, I believe, already know how they're going to vote. They're looking for maybe a little something extra, something to be unveiled, something they didn't think about, whatever. But pretty much what you see is what you, I think what you see or what you may hear when there's not all the talking over each other and not this crazy dance around the ring, you know what you're getting. You know who you're voting for. I mean, that's what you know. You know that's going to happen. You know, at one point, there was that, you just heard it there, the keep yapping man. That was Biden's response. It's hard to get any word in with this cloud. Excuse me, this person. That kind of thing. And I think Biden was starting to get hot under the collar, but did not push himself, like I'm saying, did not push himself all the way in. So what are the takeaways from this first presidential debate? I guess that Biden kind of resisted some of what was happening. He lost his cool at a couple of points, and you heard them there. So the keep yapping, the shut up, the clown, that's what I mentioned. He was certainly exasperated. The coronavirus was obviously talked about, and the liability issue just kind of hung over. I think the liability issue just kind of hung over the stage, frankly, and it might have been a stronger response by Biden on that. It was an awful debate because it wasn't a debate. That's the takeaway. There are interviews. And actually what's interesting is Chris Wallace did a great interview with the president. He was pretty tough in the interview. And he, you know, shot back at him. They had conversations. They went back and forth. I mean, that was a better thing to watch than this debate, which is why I thought Wallace would be so good. And there is no question about it. And the president, of course, did push him in this direction, which I think was a strategic move, of course, was that Joe Biden kind of pushed himself away from the left. He disconnected from the left side of the Democratic Party. And then, of course, there was the question about white supremacists, and there was the dance around there, and then moving on to something else. And I think that's something that's going to be consistently highlighted. What about taxes? The president and his taxes? That came up. That's coming up on the flip side.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Report that in 2016, the year you were elected president, and 2017, your first year as president, that you paid $750 a year in federal income tax each of those years. I know that you pay a lot of other taxes, but I'm asking you the specific question. Is it true that you paid $750 in federal income taxes each of those 2 years?
I paid millions of dollars in taxes, millions of dollars of income tax. And let me just tell you, there was a story in one of the papers.
I paid
$38 million 1 year. I paid $27 million
Show us your tax returns.
I went... you'll see it as soon as it's finished. You'll see it. You know, if you want to do, go to the Board of Elections. There's a 118-page or so report that says everything I have, every bank I have, I'm totally under leveraged because the assets are extremely good, and we have a very, we have a, we, I built
sir,
a great
company.
I'm
asking you a specific question, which
but
is.
Let me tell you.
I understand all of that. No, Mr. President, I'm asking you a question. Will you tell us how much you paid in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017?
Millions of dollars.
You paid millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
So
yes.
Not 750.
Millions of dollars. And you'll get to see it. But let me just tell you, Chris, let me just say something, that it was the tax laws. I don't want to pay tax. Before I came here, I was a private developer. I was a private business people. Like every other private person, unless they're stupid, they go through the laws, and that's what it is. He passed a tax bill that gave us all these privileges for depreciation and for tax credits. We build the building, and we get tax credits like the hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. You get a massive, which, by the way, was given to me by the Obama administration, if you can believe that. Now, the man got fired after that happened. But
Vice President Biden, you want to respond?
Yeah, I do want to respond. Look, the tax code that made him
put him in a position that he pays less tax than a school teacher makes, on the money a school teacher makes, is because of him he says he's smart because he can take advantage of the tax code. And he does take advantage of the tax code. That's why I'm going to eliminate the Trump tax cuts. And I'm going to eliminate those tax cuts and make sure that we invest in the people who, in fact, need the help.
All right, so the tax question we knew would come up, and you kind of saw or listened to what happened there, and it was interesting to see how all of this unfolded if you watched it on the tube. Kate Delaney, as always, thrilled that you're with us. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, or flip in a call, 855-266-5283. Will you watch the next two debates, if in fact they have them? There's been some suggestions already. They might be canceled. Carol Lieberman joins us. The doc is a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist. She's a best-selling author, and she understands body language. When you're in that spot, you got to really be able to read what's happening with patients and people around you, certainly all those years of experience. So, Dr. Lieberman, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you.
So you just heard that part there about the taxes, and you watched this debate. Let's just look at that particular moment. What did you see in that moment, the question that Wallace tried to focus in about just specifically the federal taxes in those years?
Well, you know, it was kind of a cringeworthy moment. you couldn't go anywhere. Because Trump is saying to look at it, that he did pay these things, and there was no way during the debate to prove one way or the other. You know, I know it had come out in the paper and so on, but you couldn't really respond to it. Now, Biden, this was one of his more lucid kinds of comments, and this was a more calm, relatively calm conversation compared to so many of the others. One of the things that was a real problem in the debate is Chris Wallace had great questions, but he did not have control over the two candidates. And so they wound up talking over each other, not necessarily in that example, but in many other examples. And so it was really difficult for the audience to get much out of it. As far as one of the things I noticed in terms of body language is, Biden was smiling a lot. When he was obviously feeling very uncomfortable, he did a lot of smiling. That was how he reacted to things that he didn't like, or when he felt intimidated, or, you know, they did when they came out on the stage. They actually had different approaches. You know, Biden came out sort of clenching his fist, raising his fist in a way like go team kind of thing, and friendly, trying to be friendly. And Trump came out like a bull in a china shop, which is how people generally think of him. But being a bull, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, his being a bull in a china shop has gotten a lot done during his term in office. But, you know, one of the things I was expecting to find, because although I have not examined Biden myself in my office, you know, up close and personal, I certainly have watched a lot of his speeches, whether it's on Zoom or actually in a campaign location. And he definitely has encroaching dementia. And so I was expecting tonight to see more signs of that, because this is a more pressured, stressful stage than when he's in his basement or even on a campaign stop. And yet, there were times when he fumbled and for words and so on, but on the whole, he held his own. And I mean, he didn't provide a lot of information necessarily, but he didn't get as rattled as he typically gets in other situations. And so one of the things, I know it's been brought up by Trump, that he wanted to have blood tests before the debate. And I actually think that would be a good idea for the next two debates, because for something like a medication, something like Adderall, or which is an amphetamine, or some other kind of enhancing sort of drug might well, could well explain this. Now, I don't have any inside. I'm not saying that I know this for sure, but it is strange. It's not typical for someone who has the beginning signs of dementia to suddenly, you know, be a lot better in a more stressful situation.
Yeah, and what are the beginning signs? Because, you know, that's, if it depending, because we have a polarized nation, Dr. Carroll, you know that. So some people say, oh, that's just things that are being thrown out there. But you're somebody who examines people. And like you said, you haven't examined him, none of that. But what are things that you see that make you say that you can see that it's encroaching dementia?
Well, some of the more memorable, so to speak, things that he has done or said, and signs, symptoms. He has shown memory loss and confusion, like when he forgot the words of the Pledge of Allegiance, and not only forgot them, but then he didn't realize that what he was saying instead didn't make any sense. Then, similar to that, there's confabulation, which is what people do when they forget something and they make up a story in the hopes that people won't notice that they, you know, that what they're saying doesn't make sense.
Right.
He also has behavior problems like irritability and lack of restraint, and he showed that. An example was when he called a reporter a junkie because he was getting irritated at him. And depression and paranoia, and that can account for part of his staying in the basement. And something that has not come out, although the information is there, he actually has, Mr. Biden has, a list of medical problems that explain why he could well be suffering. These are problems that are kept, that come home to roost when you get older. So, for example, the most important is that he had a cerebral aneurysm that caused an intracranial hemorrhage in 1988, and it was operated on. And when it was being worked up, they, it was repaired surgically. And when that was being worked up, they found a second aneurysm. So, and then he also has currently atrial fibrillation, and he takes an anticoagulant for that. He has a history of a pulmonary embolism. He's had multiple surgeries, including for benign and malignant growth, and other medical issues. And, you know, when Hillary was running, we heard about some of her medical problems. I mean, I talked about some of that, and I wasn't the only one. And we haven't heard about Joe Biden's medical problems. I mean, we've had people say from time to time something about him seeming like he has dementia, but there hasn't been any digging into it to talk about these medical problems.
It's interesting your suggestion about blood tests. We'll see if we even have those other debates, which I think we will have them. But Dr. Carroll, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, she's on the West Coast, board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist and a best-selling author. More on the debates coming up.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump and Joe Biden are debating in Cleveland. They were asked if scientists can be trusted regarding COVID-19.
There's millions of scientists, there's thousands of scientists out there that don't
work for him. Their job doesn't depend on him. That's not, they're the people, they're, and by the way,
to the scientists that are in charge,
by the way,
they will have the vaccine very soon.
Do you believe for a moment what he's telling you in light of all the lies he's told you about the whole issue relating to COVID? He still hasn't even acknowledged that he knew this was happening, knew how dangerous it was going to be back in February, and he didn't even tell you. He's on record as saying it. He panicked or he just looked at the stock market. One of the two, because guess what? A lot of people died.
This is USA Radio News. President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett, has been officially nominated for the bench. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor mocked concerns from Democrats that she would move to strike down the Affordable Care Act.
Mother of seven, including multiple children who were born or adopted facing pre-existing medical challenges, is just itching to block families like hers from accessing medical care. What a joke.
Several Democrats refused to meet with Judge Barrett. Her confirmation hearings are expected to get underway in October. The Senate also advanced a stopgap measure that will keep the government running through December 11th. Stocks were off today. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 131 points, the S&P 500 down 16, and the NASDAQ Composite down 32. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, a ton of email from many of you watching the debate. And some of you saying you turned it off, like Peter. Peter says, Kate, I've been a political animal, I'll call myself, since the time I was a kid. I probably grew up like you. I've heard you talk about your family said you have to take this seriously and you have to focus on what's happening in the neighborhood and know what the issues are. So I was always encouraged to talk at the table about politics. And by the way, my family didn't always agree. A lot of us were on all kinds of sides. I have to say, all of us as Americans can agree on this. This was a debacle, this debate. I actually feel sorry for Chris Wallace. I think he is a pro. I heard your comments about the interview that he did with the president, and it could have been a decent moment for him, but he had no control. He had no control whatsoever. He had thought out questions, and he had the poise to do it, to execute it, but it just was a runaway train, and so much talking over each other at the beginning, I could barely listen to any of it. I did, of course, record it, and perhaps I'll go back and look at some of it, but I wasn't impressed by anything I saw, and it wasn't anything like a debate. There was no focus. It was all over the place, and clearly, I also agree with you, as I am a fan of your show and listen, people have their minds made up, so we damn well knew when we sat in front of this, we were just kind of watching and kind of rooting for our person, if you will, our guy, but I don't think any minds would have been changed in watching what they saw. I could, however, be wrong. All right, I don't think minds would necessarily be changed, although I have listened to, because let's face it, there's slants all over the place. There is. And I listened to a lot of different people, their analysis, the people that they had come in, groups of different, you know, exchanges between people who have been in politics as campaign managers, etc. And the one thing, the one demographic I kept hearing about, which I'd be really curious about, is the suburban mom. Like that, the suburban mom will just be outraged, and there's no way the suburban mom would vote for Donald Trump because she's being left out and that's not part of the conversation. And I just keep thinking to myself, but that's not what happened last time around. And I don't know what we saw that was different, except for, again, substantial chunks of information tough to really hear, let's face it, because it was off the rails. It was just crossfire back and forth. You know, that's it. I mean, look, at one point, which I thought could have been an interesting moment, the coronavirus death tolls over 1 million worldwide. You know, we've had people on who have talked about surviving it, some talking about what it was like afterwards, all kinds of stories from all over the world, from our friends in the UK and Australia and India and Wales and New Zealand and all of that and other places, too, and, of course, in the United States. So the virus, the economic downturn, the smash of our economy to small businesses, to big businesses, to people's livelihoods. The airline is going to dump a bunch of people. Disney's laying off 28,000. Just give me a company, and I can tell you how many people have been squashed by it. And people are concerned what's happening with reopening. But no matter what the perspective you have is on the virus, it's affecting you in some way. And especially economically for so many people. And that was kind of lost in all of this. The battle over whose plan would have cost more lives was like, eh, you know, how are we out of this? Tell us that. How are we getting out of this? Because that's the answer that we want. So for Biden, I think there was a missed opportunity there, because if I'm his campaign manager, then that's one thing I'm going to really focus on. And it comes back to the economy, the economy, the economy. So to me, yes, you could talk about the Supreme Court and, oh, would you pack the Supreme Court and all that sort of stuff and go after the nominee and talk about that, because that was the opening question by Chris Wallace. But the opportunity to me was over the coronavirus, because to me, this is the thing that is affecting our world so much, our friends, our world, our backyards every day, even if it's just the silent hum occasionally in the background because you're trying to put it out of your mind. That's the thing, right? That's the thing. All right, so let's go after more of these emails. Chris, who's listening to us in Austin, says, Kate, I mean, really, honestly, to me, and I will say I'm a lifelong Republican, I'm not a huge Donald Trump fan. I'm just kind of about the Trump administration. Some things he's followed through with, and they've been good. Other things haven't been as good. The whole Twitter thing I think is ridiculous. He's like a child on Twitter, and I'm a guy who's 29 years old. But then I look at Biden, and I think he is weak, man. I think he's weak. If he was a Republican, I would say it. If he was an independent, I would say it. And he's a Democrat, and that's the best the Democrats could do. I'm surprised it came down to Biden, and I think he kind of showed that in what was a chaotic debate, which included the president being the interrupter, the chief interrupter during most of this. But Biden didn't have strong comebacks to that. I don't know that he would take away any of those who already believe that Trump should be the president still. What do you think? Well, I said this before. I don't think any minds are changed. I don't think there's anything substantial that comes out of this. If you are anti-Trump, and that's the thing, so, okay, so Biden isn't the guy, but I'm not voting for Trump, then that's how you feel. That's not changing. And if you're, hey, let's stay with the status quo, Trump is the guy, whatever, then you're staying there. I don't see that if he stepped away from a question about white supremacy, or he backed off this, or did that. I don't see who he interrupted. I don't see how that would make anyone in his camp, anyone who's saying, no, we're going in this direction, I don't see how they're going to jump off of that. I don't think so. You know, it was exhausting watching it, really. It was exhausting. There was a couple of weird, funny sort of moments because you're like, what? What did they just say? Really? Is this like a comedy special? But it was exhausting. All right, how about this? And everybody's talking about the debate, by the way. This one is from Patrick, who's listening to us in Portland. Kate, I'm here in Portland. I'm just disgusted with things that have happened in Portland, of course. So much of it unnecessary. I will give the president some kudos for pressing Biden on who are your people endorsing you with law enforcement, because he knows he doesn't have any of that. And then, of course, Biden shooting back at him about the coronavirus, although I don't know that that would fall on any ears. That would be opened up in a different direction. I would just say that as Americans, we need to be involved in what's happening in our world, and no longer is it acceptable from any of our friends, and we should tell them to say, oh, I don't care about voting. My vote doesn't matter. People already have their minds made up. Whether they do or not, I think it is time that people exercise their civic duty. I heard you mention the statistic of 30-40% people in this country vote, and that's despicable. And if you voted, perhaps you would get other candidates or people that you really wanted to back, instead of arguing about chaos and everything else that has happened in the last really decade or so. That's just the way I see it. All right, I agree on the voting thing. Absolutely. 30-40% of Americans vote when they have the right to vote. I have a 19-year-old nephew who can't wait to vote in the election, can't wait to vote, because he understands, this is his civic duty. This is his country. He cares about it. And when he doesn't know about issues, what does he do? He wants to be informed. He's curious. He wants to find out more. He asks me to send him things and to tell him about things. And I'm sure the same with his mother and father. And I think that's great. And I hope that more young people feel the same way, because there's nothing like the first time that you vote. And it's important to consistently want to exercise that right to vote. All right, this one is from Gregory, and Gregory says, Kate, I'm here in Nevada. A buddy of mine told me about your show. I've been listening now for a couple of months, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Vegas, when they talk about is opening up. Vegas, like everywhere else, is getting absolutely clobbered, especially because we rely on tourism and hospitality and conventions. And now we are opening up a little bit more. The governor has said that there can be conventions of, you know, more than 250 people, I think. And MGM Resorts is saying that they're open for business, that they feel confident that they can host conventions and meetings at their properties, and that would certainly include the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and that they're doing things and have worked on things to offer prepackaged meals for people at events, and to host virtual or hybrid events, and do digital pre-registrations and all that kind of thing. And I think we're going to see more of that, and it's smart, because if somebody doesn't do something, everything is just going to crater in, and it really has already. 18,000 people are set to be laid off with MGM alone, so you can imagine the other casinos. And as somebody who moved to Las Vegas from Chicago, I look at it and I consider it to be an honor to live here, and I want to see this economy thrive again. All right, we'll see how it goes. They say they really have worked on rapid COVID-19 tests, so there you go. More on the debate. Your reactions next.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now, don't just walk away.
I just wanted to say I heard the debates over the radio, and you could make heads or tails over all that bickering. Just, it was not a debate. It was just a bunch of bickering.
All right, so that's one of our callers out of Texas, the great state of Texas, saying it wasn't a debate. It wasn't. You could barely understand the first 10 minutes of a, I've said that as well. I invite you to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Thanks for hanging with us, Kate Delaney. Glad to have you aboard. Remember, you can always check us out at katedelaneyradio.com. Let's go to David in San Francisco. And as I always say on this show, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, just proud to be an American, and you want the best for your fellow man, no matter if they agree with you or not. I'm starting to run into that more, so that gives me some great hope. Let's go to David, like I said. Hey, David, how are you?
Oh, thanks, Kate. Yeah, as a matter of fact, wasn't there a famous phrase, "United we stand, divided we fall"?
There was, yes. It still is out there. I know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of my great-great-great-great-grandfathers signed the Declaration of Independence. So I consider myself pretty conservative, as 1776 goes. And to imagine that, in American history, like Ben Franklin, playing with lightning bolts, he would have been burned as a witch, you know, playing with lightning bolts. That
yeah.
just would be
yeah.
something God. And
yeah.
the idea that America has now got a lot of high technology because of Ben Franklin, and the idea that we've given that high tech to people that still don't believe in United We Stand, you know, it's a very dangerous world when you give high tech to people that are superstitious. So it's a very scary world as that goes. I was more interested in what didn't get discussed, and that was Social Security. You know, in the earliest days of Social Security, it was thought that, you know, all of this paycheck money was going to be sucked to Washington, D.C., and that would be a terrible thing. And so since the Federal Reserve had 13 different districts, the 13 districts would be able to, the Social Security money would stay at least in each of the 13 districts by investing in things like school bond issues and sewer bond issues and freshwater bond issues and, you know, all of the local projects that weren't going to be funded could be funded by Social Security money. And so it was patriotic not only to pay Social Security, because it was going to come back in investments in your sewer projects and school, you know, all of the different bond issues locally. But it was also patriotic to pay taxes just because we, the people, would have this pile of money on April 15th that we would be able to elect representatives to help make sure that that money got spread around and that bridges, roads, the levees, dikes, all sorts of different things could be developed so that America would be a better place to live. And so when we've got politicians nowadays that pretend that paying taxes is an awful thing to do, and that Social Security, which is now, this is the fifth week that Social Security has been starved. If you remember, at the end of September, Trump said that, at the end of August, Trump said that it was okay for employers to no longer pay into the employer tax. And, but that's how Social Security is funded. And so we've now been starving Social Security for 5 weeks, or we're in the fifth week right now. So
right.
I didn't hear that in the debate. And, you know, the idea that America now has got a president that doesn't like to pay taxes, he's not patriotic enough to pay into buying nice stuff for us, or for himself for that matter. You know, he uses these roads and bridges, he uses the airports, he uses the, you know, the FCC, he uses all sorts of different aspects of the United States government, and he pretends that it's not patriotic to pay into taxes or Social Security. So that was one of the shocking things that I, you know, Biden missed a great opportunity, and Trump, you know, continues to laugh about the idea that he doesn't need to pay taxes.
You know, it's interesting, David, thanks for the call. It's interesting that you bring up Social Security. A couple of things. One, I think with the president strategically, it is, hey, I'm paying taxes, millions in taxes, but not specifically. That's why Chris Wallace said that. The New York Times report about the paying the, you know, under $800 and federally. So he's separating those taxes is what he's doing, right? On the Social Security issue, I'm not surprised that didn't come up, actually, because there was so much else in the 90 minutes, but it was so chaotic and so bickery and so talking over each other, so much was missed anyway. But I'm not surprised that it did. I'm not, because of the virus, number one, when you have 206,000 people dead in the U.S., 7.22 million cases, over a million cases worldwide, killing us economically, talking of reopening, what about schools, what about this, what about that. There was so much focus. I get it, the whole Social Security thing, and what is the takeaway from that, relying on Social Security, being starved out in not getting the checks and not getting the kind of checks that that people are expecting, or that stimulus also part of that, right? Like, where's the stimulus check? That I'm not surprised. I'm not that it didn't come up because of the other issues. So that's the thing. By the way, this somehow got a little. This just jumped into my head when David said the thing about united we stand, divided we fall. And he talked about having somebody in his family that was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. So if you go back to, I know sometimes these weird little chunks of history, since I grew up in Philadelphia, in 1768, the Liberty Song, that's what it was. It was by John Dickinson, because I can remember having to do a report on this. He had a line in the song about, you know, join in hand, brave Americans, by uniting we stand, by dividing we, you know, fall. And I think there's always questions about, well, who first said that? Who was the first, you know, who was the first person that said that? And you can trace that back a long ways. That actual phrase can be just traced back like 2,600 plus years. It's really kind of fascinating. And it is true, right? United we stand. That's why it's too bad. I mean, before, and I've said this a million times, and this is just like beating a dead horse, and at this point it's about the election that's coming up, but why is it that you can't disagree and have different politics but still be pals with your next door neighbor or your friends from school or the guys from the shop or whatever when you are so divided in the way you think politically? That used to be okay, but now it's not. So bottom line is, my takeaway from this election is you better vote. That's what I think. It was chaotic. I can't imagine that the other two debates, I've now said that word probably 10 times. I hate to lean on a word, but it's the best word for this. There was name calling. There were moments where you could see the tension. I think Dr. Carroll's assessment of Bull in the China Shop for the president, but saying how that's worked for him and negatively and positively. And for Biden, she's right about if you were looking at the body language, he had those moments where he was smiling. There was kind of those awkward smiles. And part of that is, I think, probably trying to not react to some of the bait that was, you know, thrown out there. It really was sort of like I expected, although I thought there would be a little more meat to it, that there would be more discussion. And I don't know, if you're Chris Wallace, how are you feeling about this one? I mean, he had the questions, he has the poise to pull it off, but what do you do when you got runaway trains? Yeah. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. Big shout out to Mo Flam and also Alex, our technical wizard on this show. What a great job he's doing. Make it count, everybody.
Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.